College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We are at 70 degrees, and the weather, well, it's feeling much cooler and much better for us. Heat wave is over. Heads up, at the Philadelphia airport, there are still some delays and backups as those storms rumbled through our region last night, overnight. So heavy, heavy storms and a lot of trees down, a lot of damage. So just a heads up for you that we are hearing that at PHL, they're still this morning experiencing some backlogs. It was much worse last night, overnight, but this morning still some delays, especially striking American Airlines passengers. So heads up on that one. We have in Philadelphia double shooting that has now turned into a homicide investigation as a teenager was gunned down on a Somerdale street. This is an incredible, horrible way crime scene, according to the authorities. Shots fired at the intersection right there of North Falkrod and Somerdale Ave. Police say the gunman targeted and ambushed this teenager, an 18-year-old, who they tried to save his life, rushed him to Einstein Hospital, and the doctors there in the emergency department could not save his life. So this happened about dinner time, 5:40 p.m., last night. Police say the shooters drove up. They get out of a dark-colored SUV vehicle, and they shoot this teenager multiple times, almost like a mobster movie. Pool of blood. The clothing remained on the corner hours after those homicide detectives had processed the scene. So many residents, obviously, horrified by this. We don't have word of the motive, whether the suspects are in custody, and we don't have that victim's name. So one of those situations, my question is this gang-related, drug-related? What's going on here? We don't have a lot of answers.
Sounds almost like a public execution.
It does.
The way they pull up like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very scary.
Cold-blooded.
Yep.
We have a crazy story in Pennsylvania making national news with two men now in custody facing felony charges after they're accused of abducting four young women, and we know the youngest is a 17-year-old, so we don't have the ages of the other victims here. This is Smithfield Township, Pennsylvania, held them captive in a shipping container. And the details, as they come out from the court records, are that this 29-year-old Devon Carlin Jackson is accused of, and this morning he's charged with kidnapping, rape, multiple other offenses here. The second suspect, 19-year-old Isaiah Keeney, charged as an accomplice here. So the court records reveal that at least two of these young women, I'm saying young women because it looks like they're on the cusp of either being, 16, 17, 18-ish, they witnessed a shooting in Wilkes-Barre on Monday. And then they were ordered to get into this Ford Flex SUV, which meant and they were told that they would be killed if they did not comply and get into this vehicle. So they get into the vehicle. Once they get in, there are already two other women being held against their will. And these victims were taken to a property owned by one of the suspects here in Smithfield Township. This is Monroe County. And some of the victims were tied up in an office on the property. The details are just scary here. One of the guys walking around with a chainsaw, a sledgehammer, an axe, threatening, terrifying these victims, assaulting them, raping them. It's just sick.
And these two women that they scooped up, so to speak, after the other two, these were merely witnesses, or did they know these two is what I would like to
know. It sounds like they do not know. They do not know these teens, young women, these teenage women or young adults. The story is crazy how two of the women were able to escape. The suspects fled with at least one or two of the other women headed to Mount Pocono, but police were called and an arrest was made in a Walmart parking lot.
Wow.
Because of those attentive Walmart shoppers.
Another reason Greg Stocker doesn't go to Walmart.
I know, right? just a scary story here, but two of the at least one of the teenagers, two were able to escape, called family for help.
Wow.
But this is like a movie scene.
It really is.
Carried out in Pennsylvania.
Chainsaws and sledgehammers.
Yeah, threatening them with these chainsaws, you know, at their face. And, oh my God, it sounds like just a horror movie.
It does. You're right.
On a lighter, brighter note, Mayor Sherrell Parker today, and this is big, because the mayor is making an announcement today regarding a plan that is a pillar of her campaign. You may recall that, Sherrell Parker has talked about year-round schools for quite some time. She talked about it when she was campaigning. And many, many people, including many at this station, poo-pooed this and said it'll never happen. They're never going to go year-round schools. And it just shows you the power of Parker. She seems to get what she wants. Well, just today, the mayor will have a huge announcement, 20 schools taking part in a pilot program starting this fall. And families will have the choice to opt into this year-round Philadelphia Public Schools program. This is big.
I wonder how many people will actually opt into it, at least percentage-wise, that are offered that opportunity. Be interesting to see how many people take advantage of that.
It seems to me that many people are excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if anything, it keeps kids, you know, maybe off of social media, off of the streets, occupied. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are many kids that are, you know, a year or two behind based on COVID delays and virtual. So, I mean, I guess there is some upside to it.
I wonder how much of it has to do with childcare too, because, you know, a lot of times childcare in the summer is not easy to find or it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how much that'll weigh into it as well.
Well, and speaking of cheap, I wonder also how much is this going to impact taxpayers as far as, you know, do your school taxes go up? I mean, if teachers are teaching 12 months instead of 9.5, I mean, are they doing it for the same salary?
It's already budgeted from what I see.
Okay.
And so, I mean, you know, it looks like they've worked that out, but it's a pilot program.
Right.
So they have to, you know, they have to make do with that. Maybe it's an opportunity at the end of the day for teachers to have more flexibility.
I'll tell you, if I was a kid in 1996 and this happened to me, I'd be really ticked off. I'll tell you that much.
Well, something else happened last night at Philadelphia City Hall, shining brighter as city officials flipping the switch on this newly installed lighting system on, of course, our historic building's exterior, 10 surrounding buildings. Philadelphia City Hall is known as the nation, I believe, the oldest still operating building of its kind in the nation. And so this new system includes those LED lights with special effects that range from seasonal holiday theme to colors that celebrate the city's sports teams, for example. This comes just months after, of course, Philadelphia's iconic Boathouse Row had its lights turned back on after a year-long upgrade. So we've been talking about the new lighting system. Cost about $2 million, includes 16 million color combos. So hopefully we will, it'll be lit. The first time it'll be lit up is when the Phils, you know, win the World Series.
That's right.
This year.
Early November, baby.
Lit up in red.
That's right.
But speaking of our sports team, Philadelphia 76ers selecting Jared McCain with the number 16 overall pick in round one of the NBA draft last night. So he's coming from Duke as a Blue Devil. And obviously, there's a lot of talk about him, not just because he's an All-American, gold medalist with USA Basketball in 2022, great basketball player, but he's known to paint his fingernails in the Blue Devils blue, among other things. So some viral videos going of him that people are having some fun with, but he's very excited to come to Philadelphia.
I realized yesterday at like 3 in the afternoon that the NBA draft was actually last night. You talk about things that have lost its prestige and prominence, like award shows and things like that. And I looked at like one of the mock drafts to see what people were projecting. I'm like, all right, there's about 3 guys I've heard of in this draft. So with the Sixers picking in the middle of the draft where they picked, I was just like, I'm not sure many people really care about this pick. But, you know, if you paint your fingernails, good for you, dude.
By the way, Dawn, Mago Mush on the YouTube chat says, my local news sucks. Not a word about those abductions up here. I have to listen to Dawn to find out what's going on in my own county.
How about that?
Oh, thank you for
that's not big news up in the
How could that be?
Poconos area?
What else could they be talking about up there? With all due respect.
And so many questions. I mean, to your point, so many questions. We don't hear these stories about, you know, when we talk about human trafficking and what's going on, we don't hear these stories.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we've got our Phillies. We spoke about the Phillies and hopefully painting City Hall red this coming fall. But Phillies toppling the Tigers in Detroit 6-2, bringing it home today, beginning a 4-game series against the Marlins. So it'll be a gorgeous day for baseball today and tomorrow through the weekend. We're in the 80s. It's going to feel good after all that rain last night. 88 today, 85, and just picture perfect sunny skies for your tomorrow. The weekend we pop up into the upper 80s as we do see some of those pop-up storms that kind of have like a Florida thing where maybe a storm moves through, but nothing that is sustained. So it looks like we're in for a nice stretch, especially today and tomorrow. United Tire Service, summer heating up. So with the savings at United Tire Service and now through June 30th, get the best pricing for your summer road trips on all the major tire brands. Plus, get all the manufacturers' rebates. Just visit unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15 on this Thursday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, social media asphyxiation. Yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States handed down a monumental ruling when it pertains to the First Amendment and free speech. But asphyxiation is defined as the state or process of being deprived of oxygen, which can result in unconsciousness or death or suffocation. And that is precisely what SCOTUS has done to your right to freedom of speech on social media platforms. And surprise, surprise, if you had the government running the same playbook back from 2020, you'd be correct. The highest court of the land, in my opinion, should be ashamed of themselves, especially those justices, some of which are conservatives and Trump appointees, for what they just did after what some, if not many of you, had to endure just 4 years ago. The court of last resort ruled 6-3 in favor of the Biden administration when it pertains to the government being able to strong-arm social media companies to stifle speech. I'm not even going to use the buzzwords of content moderation. This is a direct violation of your constitutional rights. By definition, from the founding fathers, the First Amendment provides that Congress make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting its free exercise. It protects freedom of speech, the press, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It's one thing if Meta, Google, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or any company flags you, suspends you, or bans you from their platform. As much as it sucks, it's their right, actually. But the First Amendment protects us from the government overstepping its bounds and going beyond the scope and reach of their powers to squelch dissenting viewpoints. And that just got blown to bits and pieces as the Supreme Court has said that the government can coerce social media into removing posts or you if it doesn't jive with their message and narrative. But get ready for more claims of misinformation and disinformation that, you know, will be proven true a few years later, because it's coming. The marketplace of ideas just got destroyed. And why are they doing this? Because social media, or the internet as we once called it, has surpassed traditional mainstream media. Newspapers are dead. The Washington Post has lost half of its readership in 4 years. The Philadelphia Inquirer is a shell of itself. The New York Times is a left-wing lapdog. And CNN loses to reruns of I Love Lucy. But it's all about controlling the message, the narrative, and the dissemination of information. Thankfully, for now, we have X, Rumble, Truth Social, Fox News, Newsmax, OAN, and most importantly, right here, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. This is another reason why preserving AM radio, as Ed Markey and Ted Cruz have been doing, and on a bipartisan front, may I add, is uber important to your rights to free speech. We say it on this show. You hear it on this station. Heck, it's on the Kale & Company t-shirts. Free speech lives here. And if you don't recall some of the specifics, here are a few cliff notes on this case. The case, Murphy v. Missouri, stems from a lawsuit brought by state attorneys general from Missouri and Louisiana that accused high-ranking government officials of working with giant social media companies under the guise of combating misinformation that ultimately led to censoring speech on topics that included the Hunter Biden laptop, COVID-19 origins, and the efficacy of face masks. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, writing for the majority, said the plaintiffs lack standing to bring their challenge. Quote, the plaintiffs, without any concrete link between their injuries and the defendant's conduct, ask us to conduct a review of the years-long communications between dozens of federal officials across different agencies with different social media platforms about different topics, she wrote. In a July 4th court order last year, U.S. District Judge Terry A. Dowdy imposed the temporary injunction preventing White House and executive agency officials from meeting with tech companies about moderating content, arguing that such actions in the past were likely First Amendment violations. Quote, this court's standing doctrine prevents us from exercising general legal oversight of the other branches of government. We therefore reverse the judgment of the Fifth Circuit and remand the case for further proceedings consistent with this opinion, end quote. Here was Fox News legal scholar Jonathan Turley reacting to the Murphy v. Missouri breaking news yesterday morning. Listen and watch this clip.
Jonathan Turley, the First Amendment, obviously you call yourself a free speech absolutist. What does this mean? If the states don't have standing, who does?
Well, it's very frustrating for the free speech community because standing is often used to block meritorious claims. This is one of the most fundamental issues that we are facing. I wrote about this issue, this case, in my recent book, because you have one of the largest censorship systems in our history, if not the largest. It's been called Orwellian by lower court judges. And what the court is saying is that we won't hear you on this issue because you're not the right litigants. Now, I have to admit, I've always been something of a standing dove. I believe that these standing decisions are too narrow because they do prevent the court from rendering a decision on such important constitutional questions. So this issue will have to wait for another day. But one of the things that many of us have been arguing for years is that the government is engaging in censorship by surrogate. I testified about this in Congress, that they have made a mockery of the limits of the First Amendment by doing indirectly what they're barred from doing directly.
Now, everybody, take a deep breath. There could be light at the end of the tunnel, as Tracy Beans, editor-in-chief of Uncover DC, posted in a Twitter thread yesterday where she said the following, quote, this ruling, while dealing only with the temporary injunction in the case and not with the case as a whole, is definitely a hammer that will make it very difficult to win in totality. And when I say that, I mean that if the case wins at the district court and then it is upheld at the fifth, it will be back in front of SCOTUS again with the stringent standards set forth in this utterly ridiculous opinion. It will have ramifications for many future free speech cases. As Alito notes, it is even contradictory of recent opinions, such as the one involving the NRA. Judge Dowdy is a constitutionalist who loves this country and will continue to rule that way, end quote. She also joined Rich yesterday at 4:30. And speaking of Justice Alito, in his dissent, he writes the following, quote, the court, however, shirks that duty and thus permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what the people say, what they hear, and what they think. That is regrettable. It was blatantly unconstitutional, and the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. If a coercive campaign is carried out with enough sophistication, it may get by. This is not a message that this court should send. Basically, what the Biden administration did to big tech to squash the Hunter Biden laptop story, that is 100% true, as reported on by New York Post columnist Miranda Devine, could absolutely happen again this summer and this fall as we head towards the election. Donald Trump being booted from Facebook or Twitter can absolutely happen again this fall, should he decide to use those platforms again. And what a disgrace. Justice Roberts, Barrett, and Kavanaugh. Justice Alito dissented, and he was joined by Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch. Three conservatives siding with censorship. Three justices who were appointed by Trump, and only Gorsuch has a brain and a backbone. A truly paralyzing day for American freedoms when the brightest legal minds apparently say that the states lack standing to sue the Biden administration and their destruction of Amendment Number 1. But hang in there. Two key words, reverse and remand. And another two key words, further proceedings. The fight for free speech on social media isn't dead yet. It's just being squeezed forcefully for now. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in with your thoughts or reaction, you can do so 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHT and, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some thoughts on what happened with SCOTUS yesterday, and then we'll ramp up debate night in America as most Americans apparently plan to watch. What are some of the things you're watching for specifically tonight? We'll kick it all around when we come back. It's Kale and Company live here on a Thursday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Feels like the old days when I was in sports, like, hey, just listen to the radio and turn down the TV as you watch it, right?
Yeah, no, if you travel or if you're doing something, you're out and about, you know, turn on the radio.
Yes.
I mean, that's always good.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much.
All right, so a couple of things. You know, we talked about, Dawn mentioned a backlog at PHL. SCOTUS certainly with a backlog of cases. You can scratch one off of the list, and that's why we did the big take on the free speech case involving Murthy v. Missouri yesterday. So, you know, all of us probably in one way or another were shadow banned over the last 4 years or maybe flat out suspended or kicked off of social media for daring to question things about the vaccine or anything with the Biden administration. I thought yesterday was a really, really sad day for America. I mean, it's not curtains yet on free speech. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and drum up fear that shouldn't exist or doesn't exist. But, like, if, you know, there's one thing every single person on this station is in 100% agreement with, and we all have varying different opinions on certain issues or certain political figures, but, like, we all value free speech. And the fact that three conservative justices yesterday sided with the more liberal justices. And oh, by the way, two out of the three were Trump appointees. If I'm Donald Trump last night, I'm blasting them on Truth Social. Like, I mean, seriously, I mean, this was, and Trump of all people booted from multiple platforms. And I think this is a sad day in America when the government can basically bully platforms to flag things, remove things, or remove people. Dawn, did this break during your show?
It did.
Okay, did you talk about it at all? I didn't get a chance to listen to what your thoughts were on this.
Yeah, it broke at that time, and I had seen it. I glanced at it at the ruling because they're coming down, so we're always watching because they start. You know, it's almost like they're like they're teasing us. You know, mm-hmm. They'll release one right at 10, and then 10:05, 10:10. But yeah, this one came down yesterday mid-morning. And so my take on it just initially as I was looking at it at the snapshot was that, and I read the dissent by Alito, and obviously he was not happy, mm-hmm. but I found it curious that Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who remember, you know, replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg
yep.
at the time, what she wrote was that the plaintiffs, what I read into it at the time,
don't have standing,
was that the plaintiffs must demonstrate a substantial risk that in the near future they're going to suffer injury and that it would be traceable to a government defendant and then redressable by the injunction they seek.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I know that sounds like a word salad of legalese jargon.
Yeah.
She's talking about a very specific, very narrow ruling. And that's what I said yesterday when I said, this is a really narrow ruling. And I know everybody's losing their minds over, oh, Amy Coney Barrett, I thought she was a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this will be revisited. I just feel like she, whatever she saw in there, she saw the plaintiff had carried no burden.
Mm-hmm.
So she's somebody who, and Greg Stocker remembers, I liked her even because remember she, I wanted her as a pick before.
Okay.
And then, because there were obviously a few chances to bring forth SCOTUS. Not, remember that, Greg? And I go, Amy, yes, mm-hmm. what you want to do? Remember, I used to sing. I'm like, yes, we were having afternoons. It was, they were horrified.
Yes, I remember.
But I've liked her a long time. So, so I'm just being consistent to, I'm loyal. I admit I really like her.
Loyal to people that aren't loyal to you. It's a great way to be in life.
But thank you, sir. But what she's looking at here is she's saying they didn't check that you have to check certain things to prove your case. Mm-hmm. And she's saying no plaintiff carried the burden. None has standing to seek this preliminary injunction.
Mm-hmm.
So she's somebody who is a stickler on the law. And she's saying, You're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe we will see other challenges. I think SCOTUS will take the other challenges. And those lawyers next, now you know.
Yeah.
When you go before Amy, what you gonna do, you gotta dot your I's and you better cross your T's,
right?
Because she is a stickler on this.
Yeah.
And she's not, what I like about her, she's not playing to the politics of it. And so I think that you have more experienced justices like Alito who's saying, look at the big picture here, okay?
Yeah.
Don't look at the dotting your I's and crossing your T's. But you have a rookie judge.
Yeah.
And she is like a lot of rookies. She's saying, oh, no, we got to – oh, no, you got to go – okay, did they reach the stair? Did they reach the stair? They didn't quite match up.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you like it or you don't, what this shows you is – you have justices who care about the law.
Right.
That's the good news out of this.
Yeah.
She deeply cares about making sure that you care about the law and you follow every single step of the way.
Yep. Still to come, presidential immunity. That's the big one for SCOTUS.
What do you guys think that'll come down?
I was just going to say, is it crazy?
Today?
Is it crazy to have a conspiracy theory that they're purposely putting this off past the debate?
Well, I mean, that's, well, past the debate.
Right, because this is going to probably carry over into July before they wrap all the cases, because when they started this term, they had 61 cases, and they still have a handful to go. I think if they denied Trump presidential immunity before the debate, that would take over the entire talking point landscape. And, maybe that's a conspiracy theory that's not well thought out, but that's just my thought. I think they could easily have ruled on that by now, and I think it's probably not going to happen until next week or the 4th of July week.
Well, so they could announce it today, tomorrow. I think, are they only going to go Monday, Tuesday?
Well, yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, they're not going.
Monday, you don't want to get into the 4th of July.
I mean, look at their calendar.
No, we're not going past Tuesday next week.
Very big holiday for SCOTUS, 4th of July.
Yeah. You got to get your hot dogs on the grill with a little mustard and enjoy the nation's birthday.
But the other one was that leaked preliminary, that leaked preliminary ruling
on
the Idaho abortion case.
Yeah, all the abortion cases get leaked.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
Ain't that something?
Uh-huh.
Was,
it really is.
So do you think that was...
by design?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the leaked indictment of Trump in Fulton County. Sorry, didn't mean to post it prematurely. My bad. Clerical error. Okay.
Yeah, does anybody really believe that?
I mean, No, not at all.
It is the government.
It is the government.
So,
yeah, but
there's that.
But it's always these cases. It's always these cases that seem to mysteriously get leaked.
Yeah.
I know, but this one was different in the sense that it was posted, then they took it down.
Yeah, that clerk's going to get fired.
Yes, unfortunately, somebody's going to get thrown under the bus on
that one. Correct. All right, debate night in America. Let's get to it. What are you looking forward to tonight? I was thinking about this from a couple of different angles because we've discussed a lot of this all week long. But for me, I've got two kind of categories I want to throw out here. What I think is Trump's priority list for tonight. In order, I would say the most important thing is Trump's vision for the future of America. He has to hammer that home tonight. And it's not to say you don't take a blowtorch to Joe Biden and his policies, but give us, number one, your vision for the future of America. Number two, you can certainly, I think, talk about the weaponization of the DOJ against him with the four indictments and the 87, 88 charges, whatever the number is. It used to be 91 if you got tossed. And then lastly, bringing up 2020? Because you already know CNN's going to bring up 2020 about the election. You already know CNN is going to bring up January 6th. You don't need to bring that up on your own and make it about that six-week stretch in America. Talk about the future of this country. Talk about your indictments, because obviously I think Biden's going to use the words convicted felon. Let Joe bring that up and then go to task against him on that front. But I also was looking at it from who gets tested tonight the most. I think this is a major test, number one, for Joe Biden. And also, number two, a major test for CNN. And we've already seen what has happened this week with Casey Hunt. We already know that these home field advantage rules are in place for Joe Biden. I think the person with the least to prove tonight is Donald Trump. So those are just a couple of thoughts that I had. Are you looking for anything specifically tonight, Dawn? Because I know you and I have disagreed on maybe the tactical approach that Donald Trump should or should not take tonight.
Yeah, I hope that he is presidential, that he comes out and lays out his policy, because this is a unique opportunity where it's very early on, and CNN is allowed, everybody everywhere is streaming this thing.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen this in our history, to be honest. We have one current incumbent who's fighting to keep his job, but another who has been president wants to be back in the White House. And then on top of it, a network this early in June, and now they get to stream everywhere. I thought to myself, I'm going to listen at some points. I want to watch. I want to say to myself, because this was, you know, journalism school, thinking about the Nixon-Kennedy debate. Is it different for people who are listening rather than watching? What is the visual?
That's a good point.
Yes.
Great question.
And then the other question I have is, as far as CNN, now we know that the moderators are tainted, as you just said. They are biased. But what about the control room? Do they have strict rules as far as when you are asked a question, you remain on a tight shot? And this is not really inside the weed stuff. I mean, maybe as a television person, I think more about it. This is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they say, and now we're going to mute everybody else's mics and you're going to be on a tight shot, and they tell the control room, you stay on that individual for 2 full minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There are no cutaway shots, because in a Joe Biden instance, it actually helps Joe. If he starts to struggle or stumble, that at that moment, the control room says, hey, take the wide camera, take camera three, show the wide shot of, you know, the moderators, or show a cutaway shot. That is bias in the control room. They are helping him out, because when you are on that tight shot, think of Joe Biden, his face filling the screen, and you can see every motion, his body language, his eye contact, his lip quivering. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That makes a big difference. If they cut to that wide shot at the moments where he's stumbling, that is bias in the control room.
Yes, indeed.
CNN has demonstrated how microphones will work during the Trump-Biden debate. I was going to use this for the cut sheet, but we can play it now.
Okay.
6:45, do you want to hear this?
Yes.
Cut 11, Phil, go.
If we go behind the podiums, you can see two green lights. When they're on, they signal to the candidate his microphone is on. When the green lights are off, they signal to the candidate his microphone is off. Now I want to give you a sense of what it will look like for viewers at home if a candidate whose microphone is off interrupts a candidate whose microphone is on. So I'm standing at one podium, and I'll ask Phil to come in and take the other podium. And so let's say I'm answering a question. My light is green, and I'm speaking. Phil's microphone is off, and his green lights are not illuminated. He's going to interrupt me as I'm speaking, and this is what it will sound like. My volume remains constant, while Phil's interruption can be difficult to understand.
Interesting.
Let's try the opposite. My microphone is now on. Victor's microphone is off, and he's going to interrupt me. My volume remains constant, while Victor's interruption can be difficult to understand. The CNN's production team has shared this demonstration with the campaigns earlier today, and we're sharing it with you, our viewers, so everyone fully understands how tomorrow night will work. Now, we should note, by agreeing to participate in this debate, both campaigns and candidates
these two wooden
have also
puppets.
Agreed to buy the CNN presidential debate airs live tomorrow night at 9 p.m. East.
All right, thank you very much. Two stiff boards.
Were they AI?
I don't even,
where
basically.
I am over here.
Yeah, and you wonder why Phil Mattingly never got ratings in morning television.
You have to think, though, it's not so much for Biden because he can't, but like Trump can yell.
Well,
it's not like Phil Mattingly talking like this. He can sit there and yell if he wants to. I'm not advising that he does that.
No,
but he could.
It's a great point because I think it, for both guys, both in the past, I mean, if you saw the 2020 debates, I mean, Trump was speaking over Biden, Biden speaking over Trump. They're arguing, taking pot shots at each other. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden starts to do the tough guy act, you know, the whole bit. But, I mean, let's think about this. This is in a setting that is not going to have any audience, and by the way, those two are speaking very eloquently. This is going to be a debate where things get heated and contentious. Trump can certainly elevate his voice. He has moments where he's giving a speech where he all of a sudden goes from 0 to 60, and the same thing with Joe. We've seen Joe at State of the Unions where he's shouting like a madman. Ronnie Jackson was a physician under both Barack Obama and under Donald Trump. And he tweeted this last night. During the State of the Union, Joe Biden was sweating profusely, screaming at the camera and not blinking. But let's just think about the screaming moment for the sake of this conversation with microphones. He says, obvious signs of performance-enhancing drugs. Ronnie Jackson tweets, I am demanding a drug test for Joe Biden before and after the presidential debate. His handlers must not be allowed to fool the American people and hide his obvious cognitive decline. So, you know, if Joe is allegedly once again juiced up for tonight, I don't really think microphone on, microphone off, those things are going to matter. In that kind of a quiet TV studio with no audience, and you're separated by how many feet? What, 6 feet, 8 feet, whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. Those microphones are still going to pick up these guys interrupting each other and shouting, even with their respective microphones off.
Yeah, but I think the point is that if your mic is off, you can still hear, the person whose mic is on should just continue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, how long have I said this about debates? Turn everybody else's mic off, not down, off.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's honest, though, that you can still hear the other person. And even if you can make out what they're saying, the question is, will this throw off one candidate or the other?
Mm-hmm.
Will they be impacted by what the other person has said?
Yeah.
So this is part of the reason that, remember in the State of the Union address, when Joe Biden, everybody said, oh, look, he could stand there and talk mm-hmm. for 58 minutes or whatever it was. And they were so, but remember, there was a Gold Star dad.
Right.
Remember, it was Abby Gate, and the dad whose, you know, son was killed that day in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Biden was thrown by that.
Yeah, yeah.
As that interruption happened, so he does get thrown.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if they throw anybody off with the fact checkers as well. I have said I think they're gonna.
I've heard that they're not gonna do fact checking unless it comes down to, like, you know, who won the 2020 election.
Really?
Yeah, that's. I heard a report that
okay.
there won't be any fact checking.
Okay, let me, because I saw something and I want to make sure I get this right, because I think it goes against what you're saying, but I could be wrong. I thought I read that they are going to have 29 different fact checkers on site or in a production truck. I thought I saw the New York Times tweet that yesterday.
Well, if you have a fact checker truck because you. In real time, are they going to put something up on the
truck?
Are they going to put something on the screen? So maybe they don't interrupt the candidate.
Okay.
I would hope to God they don't start interrupting candidates.
Well, if they do, it's going to be Trump. They're not going to interrupt Biden, right?
Right.
Like, they're not going to derail Joe's train of thought if he says something totally outlandish that has been debunked, that is a stone cold lie, right?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine it's Jake Tapper or Dana Bash. Yeah. Oh, excuse me, Mr. President, that's been debunked. That is factually incorrect.
Yes. Don't you think, though, that they might do one of those just to show that they're trying to be impartial? You know what I mean?
I mean, it'd probably be in their best interest, right? If they're trying
to
prove.
Like, if he says about the, what does he always say, inflation at 9% or
right.
whatever, that claim
yeah.
that has been debunked.
Yes.
But his whole, you know, his whole administration keeps saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he says something like that, something innocuous like that,
right.
I wonder if they'll just say, I don't know. I read a report that the only thing that they're going to fact check live
okay.
is going to be, you know, if Trump makes a claim about the 2020 okay. election.
Well, maybe what I saw with the 29 fact checkers is on the like the post game show afterwards, where all these networks show. That's what they're advertising it as.
Oh God,
I saw it on Fox yesterday. Post game coverage begins at 11 p.m. I mean, they're treating this thing like it's, you know, the Super Bowl of the World Series.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as they should. It's a big night. So I've got some of these numbers here. We're going to get to on the other side when it pertains to the ratings, and we'll guess the ratings and make our predictions. But according to an AP poll, most Americans plan to watch in some form or fashion debate number one. About 6 in 10 U.S. adults say they are extremely or very likely to watch the debate live or in clips or read about or listen to commentary about the performance of the candidates in the news or on social media. Because we do live in a clip world, so I would be willing to bet most people will just catch a few clips. The poll suggests tens of millions of Americans are likely to see or hear about at least part of Thursday's debate, despite how unusually early it comes in the campaign season. Both Biden and Trump supporters view the debate as a major test for their candidate or just a spectacle not to miss. Victoria Perdomo is a 44-year-old stay-at-home mom. She says, quote, "I think it's super important." She's a Trump supporter from Coral Springs, Florida. And also another individual says, "I think the majority of people have made up their minds with or without these debates." Quote, "It is a circus." So
yes,
you're going to have a ranging variety of people with what they already think of both and what they'll consume.
Well, will people just, I don't think many minds will be made up tonight unless Joe Biden, dies on stage or
God.
I'm serious. Like, unless he, like, passes.
I'm serious. Think about it.
Unless he passes out or, you know, poops himself or does something like that.
Sean Farish will be on Poop Watch.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He actually responded to our tweet this morning saying that there should be a camera in the bag. Just see if a
Biden rump cam.
See if a load comes in.
Oh my gosh.
To Tootsie Roll.
But unless something like catastrophic like that happens, no minds are going to be changed tonight.
I agree.
I think people will tune in just to see the train wreck of it.
That's right. Like, you're on the Schuylkill, and there's an accident, and everybody's driving slowly, not because they're trying to be careful, but because they're looking over at the see the wreckage.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they'll be looking in for tonight.
Yeah.
855-839-1210 is the number. We'll come back, get to the news, to kick off the 7 o'clock hour, and then we will play Guess the Ratings. We'll go on the record as we do for all of these big debates and everything else that we talked about the last 2 years, and the historical context of this debate compared to 2020 and 2016.
Do you want to do over-unders?
Yeah.
Or like right at the number?
You're the game show host, sir.
Oh,
you get to pick the rules.
Why?
I love a good over-under.
Well, you're sitting in the power chair.
All right, here's what we'll do. We will go actual raw number.
Yeah.
Raw number. We'll see how close we can get.
I like it.
All right, 855-839-1210 is the number as we continue Kale and Company. Hour two is next, but first, tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. I used to be an Acura owner for well over a decade, and I got to tell you, Piazza Acura of Westchester hooked me up with a little test drive of the 2024 Integra. And if you're in the market for, I would say, a higher end luxury vehicle, but maybe you can't afford a Mercedes, I'll tell you what, the Acura Integra, spectacular. I owned the ILX for 10 years, but this new Integra, by far the most striking model I have seen to date. It's well-equipped with advanced safety and tech features like wireless Apple CarPlay, a high-performance adaptive damper system, Wi-Fi hotspot capability, and if you're looking for entertainment, about a 16-speaker premium audio system. Visit PiazzaAcura.com or test drive the new Integra at Piazza Acura in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading, or check them out online right now and tell them Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.